To the brightest audience in the country, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and again,
I'm back. Doug McBurney, host of the Weekly Worldview. So good to be back with you for another day.
It's a Tuesday. Thank you, Doug. This is very unusual.
Well, the Constitution's a big deal.
That you'd be here on a non-Monday.
Yeah.
So thanks for going through. We almost completed the first public reading.
That's right.
Of the U.S., of the proposed Constitution for America.
Well, since,
on the program yesterday.
Now, since you're asserting that Colorado has no governor, I'm going to assert that this is the Constitution of America.
Well, Colorado has no governor. It's vacancy. Yeah. The office is vacant.
That's sad.
And South Bend, Indiana, where Bob and Yurt Live was broadcast from for
right.
4 years,
yeah.
They don't have a mayor.
That's embarrassing for them.
It's quite the problem.
Yep. Unbelievable.
But to get back to
yes.
the Constitution.
So we left off. We just finished with the succession process where we described yeah. the monarchy's
yeah.
succession.
So let me give, for those who didn't catch yesterday's program, nothing will make up for not going back and listening to it.
No.
So it's very important to do.
You must.
KGov.com/Constitution.
There you go.
And you could read the Constitution right there.
Yep.
And to remind people who did listen, or for those who didn't, the proposed Constitution of America, which was published online starting in 2000, every 5 years, and we take it down.
Yeah.
Because we were fighting, we still are, for the personhood of the unborn child, all these incredibly important goals, and I didn't want this to be a distraction.
Yeah.
But after putting it up in 2005, 10, 15, now 2020, we've determined we're just going to leave it up online permanently.
Yes.
Or until the Lord returns.
People need to see it, especially
yeah.
people in the government.
And so it begins, a constitutional monarchy governs America. Constitutional monarchy.
There you go.
And it's a inherited monarchy where the monarch's oldest son succeeds him.
Right.
If he has one. And if not, there's a lottery.
Yeah.
Doug, for the last, we've been on the air going on 30 years.
Uh-huh.
This will be 29 years in April.
That's right.
I have asked how many times do you go to lunch or dinner with an advertiser or a supporter or a guest who's flown in to be on the show,
uh-huh.
a scientist? I have asked more than 100 times during the years when Bill Clinton was the president, when Barack Obama was the president. I've asked, what do you think? Who would make a better president? The president we have elected, or do you see that guy across the room, that busboy? Who do you think would be better? And
yeah.
invariably, they say the busboy.
Of course.
Invariably.
Yeah.
And so then you have people like George W. Bush, which Christians will have this warm place in their heart for. But when you analyze what they actually did, it tends to be a moral, financial catastrophe.
Yeah.
And the shedding of innocent blood far beyond what any Democratic predecessor did.
Unfortunately true, yes. You
yeah.
know, when people ask me, why are you not a Republican? Why are you not a Democrat? Why do you not vote? Why are you against democracy?
Yeah.
I tell them, I don't think I'm qualified to choose who rules over you.
Wow.
And I don't think you're qualified to choose who rules over me.
Right. And how could they disagree with that?
They can't disagree.
Your own precinct. Would you let them decide your medical treatment?
Yeah.
Of course not.
No way. No.
And yet, Christians have been duped into thinking that we have to let the majority pick the direction of the country, as though 51% have the authority over 49%. Of course they don't.
No, inherently they do not.
Right.
And so, 51% doesn't mean you're right. That's all.
So this monarchy, it's a constitutional monarchy.
Yes.
But it's not self-deluded. If the king violates the Constitution, he violates the Constitution. There's nothing anyone in the country can do about it through any legal process.
That's right.
And so what is reality, you might as well acknowledge reality.
That's right.
And then the Constitution does encourage people, if the king is violating the Constitution, as we'll see when we read these last two sections, the amendment process and the dedication. It encourages the public to commit nonviolent civil disobedience, including withholding taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Including withholding taxes.
Oh, you know, that reminds me, by the way, I was driving, listening to your show, analyzing the reaction of liberals to the killing of Qasem Soleimani, or sausage pepperoni. I forget. Anyway.
Muslims are against eating ham, so yes. I thought it was appropriate to mock a terrorist.
Yes, always.
It's always good to mock terrorists.
But your analysis was definitely different than anything I heard from any other talking head, left, right, center, wherever.
Yeah.
Much more incisive and instructive and edifying. But it kind of bummed me out because your analysis basically is convincing, at least to me, that there is no way to avoid a civil conflagration here in America. It's going to happen because of the nature of the way we designed our system of governance.
Well, we're headed in that direction.
Yes.
And I don't know. It's the hard thing about predictions is that they involve the future.
Yes. Well, I'm not predicting when it will happen. I'm just predicting it's going to happen.
Well, I don't know about that either.
I'm bummed out
about
it.
But what a catastrophe is our culture. And one of the primary reasons is because of democracy.
Yeah.
Where every person thinks that everyone should obey them.
Yeah, yeah.
Every person thinks that.
Right. But the analysis of how it separates us and leads to this hatred
to where
that's
even
irrational.
If you kill a terrorist leader, arguably the number one terrorist in the world, then you are the enemy to your political opponents. Yeah. You are the enemy.
It's just.
And he is almost like he's. They've practically canonized the guy.
Yeah.
Practically.
Uh-huh. It's creepy.
An inspirational leader.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Funding terrorism around the world. You're the leading terrorist.
Yeah. So I suppose he was an inspirational leader to terrorists.
Yeah. To those who want to kill the innocent for.
But this irrational hatred is driven by democracy. And I had never really put that together.
Yeah.
But I put it together now, and it's kind of depressing. That's all.
Yeah. And so a constitutional monarchy, it's foolish to think that you could devise a system of checks and balances, which means that you'll be assured the government is good.
Right.
That's so naive.
Yeah,
it's so juvenile. It's like children, young children should be able to see through that.
Yeah.
But a monarchy, you have a very good chance that the king will be evil.
Yes.
And you have a chance that the king will be good or that an evil king will repent. It happens in history. And you only need one person to repent, where in a democracy or a democratic representative republic, you need the majority to repent. Mm. You need institutions to repent, and institutions never repent.
They do not.
They never repent. The U.S. Supreme Court will never repent for decriminalizing the slaughter of innocent children.
They will not.
Based on history and what the Bible teaches us about human nature, they will never repent.
No. And unlike an evil king, the Supreme Court will not die and go away. That institution will be there in perpetuity.
Yeah. So we're slipping into what we wanted to put off for now.
That's right.
The biblical apologetic for the proposed Constitution of America and the political defense.
Yeah.
So these are two different documents that we will also upload to KGOV. And how appropriate that the Constitution is now at KGOV for government.
I like that.
Kingdom authority flows from God. Mm-hmm. KGOV.com/Constitution. And there's the Constitution. And we could, if you'd like, Doug, we could continue now reading. We just went through the succession process, as you said, and you hold a lottery to decide if the king doesn't leave an heir, son, then you hold a lottery to see who will be the next king.
And I like that the queen runs it, and if there is no queen, then the king's eldest daughter administers the...
None, or not able to, then America's chief military officer will oversee the national lottery.
Yep, because let's face it, folks, you could staple a phone book to the wall and throw a dart at it and get a better person than we get generally.
Now, any
political election.
Now, at any given moment in history, people who support the current politician will disagree if it's their guy.
Well, that's true.
But generally speaking, over the span of history, you could get many people to acknowledge that a random process would produce a better leader than the leaders we got in Congress, in on the Supreme Court, and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Doug, a lottery in the Bible, God has people cast lots to make decisions that they're not capable of making.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not qualified, when your own self-interest cannot be separated from what's really best to do,
mm-hmm.
then in many circumstances like that, you cast lots. It keeps the powerful apart.
Right. They won't
so they
fight
don't
over
fight.
It. Right.
And you humble yourself before God, not claiming superstitiously that God will make the lot fall on the person he wants to. When he was intervening in the Old Testament, he wanted David. That's what he did.
Yep.
When he wanted Saul, that's what he did. But whether God is intervening or not, if he is, obviously, then he is. But regardless, by humbling ourselves and following God's wisdom to say, we're going to make this choice by lots, mm-hmm. because we recognize we do not have the wisdom or the knowledge to make the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's the purpose of a choice of the leader by lottery. And even in the New Testament, most of that's in the Old Testament. When the 11 apostles, after Judas committed suicide, when they had to replace, they needed a 12th apostle because the 12 apostles represent the 12 tribes of Israel. As Jesus said, they'll sit on 12 thrones in the kingdom.
Right.
So awesome. They cast lots to see who would be the 12th apostle.
And there were more than one qualified man.
Yeah. And the lot.
And the lot could have fallen on either one.
Right.
And it would have been.
And they cast lots, and it fell on Matthias.
Right.
And he's the 12th apostle.
Yeah.
Doug, the amendment process. America does not permit amendments to its Constitution.
That's pretty short.
Nor to its criminal code. So how's that? That's very different.
Yes. No amendments.
God gave us a model when he revealed the Ten Commandments. He wrote them in stone.
Right.
And I was being facetious. I think it was a week ago on the air when I was talking about the amendment process God gave for the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
When he wrote it on two tablets of stone, and he said when the Southern Baptists get together and vote, then they could vote to chisel out one of those right. and get another slab and add it and chisel in the new,
uh-huh.
right, the amendment process. Well, he didn't do that.
No.
And he gave us a model for governing a nation. And so when you have an amendment process, you do it because you think, well, we're not infallible, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
And so you weigh the consequences of having a biblically based constitution that has no amendment process versus the certainty that over time the amendments will enable the masses to slaughter at will the innocent, like mm-hmm. with abortion, euthanasia,
yeah. right.
and to steal, like with socialism and welfare, and commit adultery and sodomy.
Yes. Eventually legalize all kinds
all
of crime.
Right.
Yeah.
So America does not permit amendments to its Constitution nor to its criminal code. Doug, I think we should read the entire criminal code when we're done with this.
Okay, I like that.
The whole thing.
People need to hear it, that's for sure.
Yeah. The monarch alone can amend only America's code of use, which amendments or revocations take effect 1 year from national public notice. Usage amendments must be germane to the code and consistent with the principles of this Constitution and America's criminal code. Any amendment or command in defiance of this Constitution, including one that increases taxes, gives all subjects the responsibility to engage in nonviolent civil disobedience, including by withholding taxes against such offense.
Uh-huh.
However, the king, as the ultimate national judge, likely will prevail in his own court against innocence, his decisions being final on earth, even if unjust, unless, of course, overturned by a foreign power.
Oh. Wow.
So the king, if you refuse to pay your taxes and you say, because king, you know you're violating the Constitution.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing that justly, but beware, because the king can haul you into court and find you guilty and punish you.
Right.
So, and we pretend that we have checks and balances that will ensure that the government is good and righteous.
Mm-hmm.
What a joke that pretense is.
Mm-hmm.
So this amendment process ends. The king, though required to obey the laws herein, dwells above the jurisdiction of any other court in the land. If the monarch violates this constitution through wrongful amendments or otherwise, while no American court has standing to prosecute him, he awaits the judgment of God.
Very, an acknowledgement of the authority of God right there in the Constitution.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Very effective. And that would be, this is something that the new monarch selected by the lottery would have to read.
Yes.
And so this gives him fair notice.
Yeah.
Right? That the judgment of God
to
awaits.
Instill the fear of God, or at least to attempt to instill the fear of God. Right now, the only fear a president has is of not being reelected.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's about it.
Yeah, yeah. And now the dedication. America hereby dedicates herself to God the Father, Jesus Christ, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Constitution arises from the Holy Bible's principles of government, explicitly does not codify Israel's symbolic ordinances, and will be superseded by Christ at his return. May God bless our King. Long live the King.
That's the proposed Constitution of America.
There you go.
So the differences between our current Constitution and this current Constitution, they could hardly be more extreme. And Doug, when kids, homeschool kids, Christian kids, they take some class in the Bible and government.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, okay, now we're going to look at the verses that support our form of government. They're extremely thin.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's not much
there. Really have to stretch to find something with, nonetheless, does not justify our Constitution. We just read where this proposed Constitution of America, just as in yesterday, incorporates the criminal code.
That's right. And so we do the first reading of America's criminal code.
You shall not murder. It has five sections.
Well.
And again, this fits on a page and a half.
Yeah.
The five sections are titled, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, and you shall not covet.
Wow.
These are the five sections. The last one has to do with establishing motive in court. Wow.
And so if there were a curriculum for homeschool kids that wanted to point out the verses that support the criminal code,
real
they'd
easy.
Be really easy to find.
In fact, this criminal code has the verses embedded in it.
I like it.
And that's consistent with some of America's first colonies, like the Massachusetts Body of Liberties.
Yeah.
They would say, thou shalt not murder. And then they put Exodus chapter 20.
Yeah.
And they'd say, thou shalt not kidnap, Exodus chapter 21. And they'd say the really vile crimes, like a man with an animal. And they would put those, they'd put the Bible verses and say, you put to death the animal and the man.
Oh.
And if we had laws like that, literally millions of people would not have died tortured deaths.
Yeah.
Because of the disease that enters the human blood supply through the most vile, wicked behavior.
Yeah, that's so true.
So the first section,
okay,
America's Criminal Code, first public reading, you shall not murder. Judges will execute those convicted of murder. And then there are quite a few Bible verses.
Yes, one, listed. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
So, and that's Old and New Testament.
I was going to say, some of those are New Testament. Look at that.
Old and New Testament, beginning with Genesis 9:6. We don't quote the Bible verses, but God says that if you shed the blood of man, by man shall your blood be shed, for in the image of God he made man.
Amen.
So because we're made in God's image, we're not animals. So if you kill a human being unjustly, you are to be put to death, including judges will execute those convicted of murder, including those euthanizing, starving, or aborting human beings from the moment of fertilization to natural death. And there's a verse in there, Exodus 21, verses 22 and 23, to show the biblical clear foundation that abortion is a capital crime. Judges will flog those guilty of assault and impose restitution for lost income and medical expenses.
Exodus 21, 18 through 19.
And for permanent injury also require an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, life for life.
Leviticus 24.
Yes. That's right. Judges will carry out all corporal and capital punishments swiftly and painfully within 24 hours of conviction and limit floggings to 40 blows.
Deuteronomy 25.
Yes. And other verses.
And Leviticus 24 and 19, 1 Peter 2.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Judges will not convict for the use of force in defense of property and the innocent in escalation to match the perceived threat up to lethal force. So you have the right to use lethal force to defend yourself, your family, nor and your neighbors, nor for purely accidental homicide. So if it really is purely an accident, you don't get put to death.
And that's described explicitly in Deuteronomy chapter 19.
Yeah. The judges will execute those guilty of negligent homicide, and we reference Exodus 21, Deuteronomy 22, and will flog those who could have avoided otherwise accidental homicide and anyone committing revenge killing of those guilty of capital crimes. So if somebody tragically, you know, murders a guy's daughter and the guy's getting away with it, and the father goes and kills that guy, and then the courts find out, they look into it, okay, this guy really did murder his daughter. So in that rare instance, you don't execute the father, but you do flog him.
Yeah, just to make a point.
Yeah, that and you don't want to encourage people to take
the
law into their own hands, but you do recognize when a murderer has committed a crime against your loved ones, God deals with that in the Bible, and it's very interesting.
Yeah, and it's interesting also that had the murderer been caught in that scenario, that the father could have had the opportunity to actually execute the murderer.
Yeah, that's right.
He would have first right of refusal.
Now, Rush Limbaugh, he understands all these principles, right?
Oh, sure, of course.
And Sean Hannity.
Oh, yeah.
Tucker Carlson, he's really good at it. Laura Ingraham, she could be a priestess.
Oh, absolutely.
With all she knows. So we have the body of Christ being led by basically secular political wonks.
Yeah.
That's what we have. Partisans who have given up any semblance of loyalty to God and his word for their lust of defeating the Democrats.
Yeah.
Defeating the liberals, the progressives. That's the lust. And if you have to violate God's commands in order to, you think, achieve your goals, then that's fine.
And under that leadership, the Christian right in America basically put a relatively vulgar buffoon in the office as a president. The Christians did it.
Yeah.
They pushed him over the edge.
And even though, you know, Trump has made many decisions that are valid.
Yes,
and
we
done.
We give him credit like where credit is.
Putting our embassy in Jerusalem, for example, killing this terrorist.
Yes, good.
A couple, al-Baghdadi also.
Him too.
A lot of good things, but that doesn't justify giving Planned Parenthood $1.5 billion to kill kids and promoting homosexuality around the world with the Trump
big time
global initiative to force every country to try to compel them to decriminalize homosexuality.
That's an active effort.
Which is a greater threat to the family and the church and a nation than is Islamic terror.
Yes, indeed.
So the next section of the five in America's criminal code, you shall not commit adultery. Judges will execute those convicted of bestiality.
Yeah, like Larry Flint.
That would have saved hundreds of thousands or millions of people,
yeah.
even just in America.
That's right.
Those convicted of incest, including with in-laws, and they're Bible verses after
right.
these.
There's Bible verses after every one.
Of homosexual acts, of child molestation, of kidnapping or rape, right? This is all within this context of
yeah.
crimes of a sexual nature with another person, and of adultery with a married woman.
Yep.
So all these are capital crimes. You commit adultery with your neighbor's wife, you get put to death if you're convicted.
Yes.
And so does she.
Mm-hmm.
Judges will flog those convicted of fornication. So two teenagers who are not married.
Yep.
Of public use of vulgar sexual and excretory language.
That put half the comedians out of business. No, 75% of the comedians be out of business.
Put 75% of the politicians out of business.
No, that's true. That no, but you know what it would do? It wouldn't,
yeah.
it wouldn't
no.
put the comedians out of business. They would just have to stop writing dirty jokes.
They'd clean up their act,
yeah.
and their humor would get funnier.
More sophisticated.
Because it's a crutch.
That's right.
It's like they have holodeck on Star Trek. It's a crutch. It's like a dream sequence.
Yep.
It's a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, judges will flog those convicted of sexually suggestive dress or behavior, of intoxication, and of possession of pornography. Judges will flog more severely those convicted of transvestism and of public nudity and of distributing pornography. And judges will flog more severely still those convicted of prostitution, of producing pornography for any use, and of sexual acts in public places.
Yeah.
So Hollywood would either be out of business or produce clean family entertainment.
Yeah, and all of that comes from the simple sentence, you shall not commit adultery. You can,
right.
you can get all
it's,
these.
Right, it's all incorporated
yeah.
and using other biblical principles.
Yes, yes, all supported by other biblical verses.
The
too.
Third of the five sections in America's criminal code, you shall not steal. Judges will flog and require restitution for convicted thieves, negligent recipients of stolen goods, and those who violate contracts. Judges will impose double restitution for recovered goods, that is, the return of the goods plus 100% value, quadruple for destroyed or sold goods, quintuple for intellectual, irreplaceable, and sentimental goods, seven times for insignificant goods, and 20% for promptly and voluntarily surrendered goods that were stolen.
Mm-hmm.
The judge shall impose corporal punishment and life-for-life penalties for collateral damage from any crime, including bodily injury resulting from the destruction of property, which warrants greater than even restitution. So you're committing a crime, you're stealing from, you're robbing a bank,
uh-huh.
and a guard has a heart attack and dies?
Death penalty.
You're responsible. It's your fault. So, Doug, we're almost done with the criminal code.
We'll get
Thanks
back
a lot.
To it.
God bless. Hi, this is radio host Bob Enyart. I'm with Colorado Right to Life, inviting you to our annual March for Abolition, Saturday, January 25th at 10 a.m. in front of Denver's Planned Parenthood Abortion Mill at 7155 East 38th Ave. Please join us to stand for the God-given right to life of every innocent child. That's ColoradoRightToLife.org's March for Abolition at Denver's Planned Parenthood, January 25th.